Congratulations. You've made it. You've made it through all 13 weeks of our devotions, reflecting on the unique callings God has given to us as men and women. I am Pastor Ben Kratz, one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee. And with me again are some of the women who serve on our Synod's Women's Ministry Committee. Could you introduce yourselves one more time and share the role that you play in women's ministry?
I'm Christy Meyer. I serve as the secretary and manage the budget and basically help in whatever other ways I can.
My name is Dawn Schultz, and I serve as the chairwoman for Wells Women's Ministry, and I'm just delighted to serve with so many wonderful, godly women.
And I'm Naomi Schmidt, and I seem to find myself working on the executive board with various projects and just opportunities that arise, just constantly looking for new ministry opportunities and women for women, and just how to be an encouragement to those around me.
So 13 weeks is a long time, 3 months, 26 emails. Christy, maybe could you give us a real quick recap of where we have been?
We started back where we needed to start, in the Garden of Eden, in all of this being created in perfection, because it is so important to ground this entire conversation in the perfection that these unique callings were implemented in and the blessings they are intended to impart. And then along the way, we hit various topics this summer. We looked at our identity as children of God. We looked at our role of helper. We looked at using our gifts for the service to the church. We looked at teaching the women to teach what is good. We looked at authority. We looked at permissible versus beneficial. And here we are in week 13, looking at how to live out these unique callings.
So our second email this week, like you said, Christy, walked us into through some of the practical things we can do as we strive to live out the unique callings God has given to us. As you consider that or think through that, why is it so important to consider our weaknesses as well as our strengths when it comes to living out our unique callings?
This is not something that I enjoy doing. I think that if anybody is being honest, it's probably not something that you enjoy doing as well. We don't necessarily like thinking about our weaknesses, but I think there's a couple of reasons that it is important to think about our weaknesses as well as our strengths, especially in the framework of this conversation when it comes to living out our unique callings. The first one I would say is because it helps us give us a realistic picture of who we are and what gifts we actually have. And I know if you're anything like me, I am a complete and total take charge person. Let's go ahead and try to get everything done. And I can do this, so I shouldn't. There are times when I really shouldn't be doing things because they are not things that I am great at. And when I remind myself that, no, I'm not good at everything, I'm absolutely not, reminding myself of my weaknesses, it helps to make the things that I do be done better, because I am focusing on things where God has given me gifts as opposed to places where it's probably not a good idea for me to serve. And then the second reason, and we've again circled around this a bunch this summer, it's not just about me. We have been blessed with being a part of the body of believers, and there are so many other people that I am privileged to partner with in building up God's kingdom. And because of that, if I think actively about what my weaknesses are, I can also then think about, okay, I have a weakness in this area. Who else has a strength in this area? How can we partner together in order to work for the good of ministry, to work for the good of God's kingdom? And actively thinking about my weaknesses helps me also to actively think about other people's strengths. That's really important to do. It doesn't always happen naturally, and it works better when I think about my weaknesses, because I can then think about who is not or who has been blessed in those areas. Both are helpful.
I think when God says in his word that his grace is made perfect in weakness, it puts the onus on us to take a look at where we are weak, so we can look to God and ask for where he will show up as our helper with the way that he's going to provide grace in the situation. And there's, as I have grown just in adulthood, in my spiritual life, coming to that realization that that's where God is going to show up. And then the amazement, the surprise at who he brings to fill in my weakness, to lend their strength, and what that looks like, has just been an amazing experience. but it focuses, when I look at my weaknesses, it focuses me back on God to say, where is your strength going to show up? Who are you going to have that show up through? And what's it going to look like? And it's almost like this anticipation and excitement grows within me to see what God's going to do.
That's a great point, Dawn. I also thought about it from the perspective of humility. I look at my weaknesses. I'm just remembered that before Christ, you know, all I am is what God has given me and who I am in Christ. And I'm not better than anybody else. And so I feel that sense of humility. But I also feel a sense of humility when I look at my strengths, because I recognize that anything that I can do well, I can only do well because God has given me that opportunity to serve, or he's designed me that way. I think of our interdependence. And again, humility rules over that, in that we need one another. And so I think it's great to look at our weaknesses and our strengths in an effort that builds the body, that says we do need each other. We are what we are by the grace of God, and have a humble spirit that's loving towards one another. I think that's just a helpful step.
And when you consider that body of Christ, your strengths are given to you for the benefit of others. They are right. Meant to build others up and not yourself. And so you can, you know, be all prideful about what you consider your strengths, or you can recognize, wow, there is someone God has just planned that you're going to be a blessing to, and you can keep eyes wide open for who that is and how you can help the situation with the gifts, the strengths that you've been given.
It's really cool, Naomi, too, what you brought up, that we don't have to view our weaknesses in the same way that the world is going to view our weaknesses. I think the world views weaknesses as liabilities or places where you're vulnerable or something like that. And in Christ, we can view our weaknesses as, like Dawn, also you said, places where God can provide and places where God can make perfect. And so it isn't a negative aspect. A weakness isn't a negative thing. It's just something where we haven't been gifted with a strength, but it's still something that can get used for God's kingdom.
I think as you think through all the different places that the conversation about the callings of men and women can go, real easy to get lost or lost in the weeds, whether you're talking about principle or the application of it and where all those things go. And in getting lost in that conversation about our unique callings, it can be even easier than to forget about our ultimate calling that God has given to us, that we are children of God. How can you honor God as you live out your calling, first as his child, and then as one of his dearly loved daughters?
I think that's a tough one, Ben. We feel like is there a division? Is there a question? How do I know? And I think sometimes when women in particular wrestle with this, we want very much to live the way that God wants us to. And so we begin to focus on the unique calling aspect and what am I supposed to be as a woman? And I think one of the things that really, I hope, came out in this devotion is that you start by going to the Word of God and seeing who you are in Christ. That when I see Christ first, when I see myself first in light of Christ, when I look to the Word of God and I absorb his entire counsel, I learn all of the Word of God, I see how it fits together, it is easier for me to understand how I live as a Christian woman when I look at all of Scripture. Sometimes I'm drawn to look at the women in Scripture, or what does God say about women? But the truth is, while that is helpful, I learn more by just opening myself up to hear everything God has to say so I can keep it in perspective.
As a child of God, it also helps me to recognize that the men that God's given in my life are also children of God. They are also blood-bought, redeemed children of God, who also desire to live out in their calling in a way that honors God. And, or if they don't know that, if they are in the world, that they don't have an understanding of what that is. And that's where we get to build the relationship. We've also talked a lot about how important relationship is, and we get to start both coming as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that are chosen and belonging to God. That's what we get to share. And there's more that unites us than separates us. And then what does that look like for our unity? unique callings. Well, God lays that out. But as children of God, the men that I'm working with to do life together until Jesus comes home, we are children of God, part of God's family first. And I'm so thankful to start there.
John, the phrase that you use, there's more that unites us than separates us, is so important to remember, because I think it's one of the first things we forget. I know for me and personally, it's certainly one of the first things that I forget. Unique callings of men and women is a topic that I am interested in, that I'm looking forward to writing a thesis on, that is something that has been of interest to me for quite a long time. But I tend to get tunnel vision. I really do. And you ask any of my pastors this, they will absolutely tell you that I get tunnel vision on this topic. And it has the potential to divide. It doesn't have to, right? We know it doesn't have to, because it was instituted in perfection. But because of living in a sinful world, this really truly does have the potential to divide us. And so when we go back to the fact that first, we are children of God. First, we have something in common. And then what we are going to look at is the rest of the callings that we have as men and women, as we've been talking about this summer. Then we focus more on the commonalities and the ministry that we're able to execute together, as opposed to the differences. And focusing first on those commonalities is so important, but it's easy to lose. It really is.
So as you think about and reflect on the past 13 weeks, the 26 emails, what's your takeaway for readers from the whole devotional series? What's one thing you want them to remember from this summer's devotion, or some encouragement that you might have for those listening as they ponder their next steps?
I would say one of the most beautiful things is understanding that I am created in the image of God, that I bear his image, I show it to the world, and that is uniquely done as a woman. And so I think we've heard phrases like get to or looking forward to. The approach to that is just going to be the game changer. But if you approach that with a mindset and an attitude that is one that sees it as oppressive, it's going to be oppressive. But if through God's eyes, understanding that I am created in his image to show God to the world, that gets to be something I get to do. And I think this is a lifelong process. You're never going to have it be one and done, but just embrace that. That's a glorious and wonderful thing. And it's going to be warped and twisted everywhere you go, but going back to that place that God started, going back to the Garden of Eden, going back to what he had in perfection and starting there, will always be the better result for how you're seen, whatever situation or difficulty or relationship that you are in. It brings a lot of clarity.
Mine would be to play off of what you just finished with, whatever situation or relationship you are in. We know, we've talked about this an awful lot this summer, that those situations and relationships are marred by sin. We know that our unique callings were established in perfection, and clearly we are not perfect anymore. And so two things, I think. The first is every situation, every relationship is different, and that makes it really hard for us to give you all the answers. I know sometimes I look back to what we've done over these last 13 weeks and I think, I don't know, have we really said anything that's helpful or important to specific people's situations? And yeah, we have, but we can't tell you what to do. And so that's the first thing I would say, recognize that your situation is your situation and know that it's going to look different navigating that, and that's okay. The second thing I would say is in your situation, in your relationships, you are blessed with a variety of people who hopefully are all working towards the same goal, the same good as you are. And this goes back to relationships also. I've said this a number of times. I've been blessed to have it. Have these conversations with your pastor. We've talked about, you know, having pastors as mentors and the incredible blessings that that brings. Don't try to tackle this in isolation. This isn't something that everybody should be struggling with on their own and should feel like you're alone in dealing with. We are blessed with amazing resources in our congregations, in our homes, in our synod, and take advantage of is the wrong phrasing, but take advantage of those relationships and of those people that you have. have the conversations, ask the questions, and don't let it be something that you have to navigate alone. You don't have to navigate it alone. And I certainly haven't. And I am much more richly blessed because I have not had to navigate this alone.
I would totally agree with that, Christy. I was thinking about, you know, when we went back to the garden and we saw the importance that, you know, God gave us his image. I think it was really also important too, that we saw the interdependence. We saw in a perfect world that man and woman are better together. And that we talked about how that's not just marriage. This is life. We do life together better when there are men and women. And when we recognize that. And so, especially even in the Christian church, then we need each other, and we are going to need each other to wrestle through some of the discussions about men and women in the church. We need each other to hear each other's voices, to respect each other, to love each other. But we need all of us to be grounded in the word, to be looking to the word for the answers. And so as we have the conversation, to know that men and women are each going to use different words and maybe speak about it differently, we are still talking about the word of God. We are talking about the one thing that is true and right and unchanging, and that's scripture. I agree with you, Christy, too, the idea that, you know, having those conversations and engaging with other believers in how we can make application, how can we learn more about this, that there we are built into a family for a reason. We are built into interdependence for a reason. And our spiritual growth is going to be part of that.
Naomi, too, you've used a phrase a couple of times that I absolutely love, the whole counsel of God or the whole counsel of scripture. It is so tempting on this topic to go and pick out the passages that talk specifically to unique callings of men and women. And those are good and beneficial passages to look at. And we absolutely should. And we focused on some of them this summer, but we also want to look at everything that God says in his word and how the entire scriptures are a beautiful love story of God's redemptive actions for his fallen people. How then does that play out in every aspect of our lives, including in our unique callings? And how are all of our actions, including how we live as men and women, shaped and influenced by that entire picture? So yes, study the sections of scripture that relate to our unique callings, but don't study them in isolation.
Right. That's so true, Christy, because it's surprising how we don't even always understand or recognize how the wisdom and the strength of God, the Spirit is working in our lives to refine our Christian thinking through the word. And we don't always recognize when that's happening, but I agree. It's understanding the big picture, the gospel of Christ, and then all of the other things will add various dimensions and strengthen our faith. But again, that is what will equip us to treat one another in love and find the answers in scripture and the love to carry out God's will together.
I think the one other thing I would say, and you're probably sick of hearing this by this point in time, but that's okay, is to distinguish between principle and application. What is timeless and what is not? And sometimes the line between those is very hard to see. I'm not saying that this is easy. I'm not saying that it's something that will always get right. But knowing that there are these two different types of ways of talking about this, and knowing that principle is timeless, but applications can change. It's such an important thing. And that's why we hit this so hard over the course of the summer. We start with the principle, because that's where you have to start. You need to understand what is timeless. But then when we move into applications, we have the potential to have these conversations fueled by a common understanding of the principle, but knowing that they might change. And I really, really hope, again, you're probably sick of hearing it, but I really hope that we distinguish between those two and the importance of distinguishing between those two this summer.
Well, for Naomi, Christy, and Dawn, we are thankful for you as listeners and readers, and we appreciate you spending some of your time with us these past weeks, both in reading the emails and listening to our discussions. We pray that they have been as much a blessing to you as they have been to us. If you do have any questions, please ask. You can send them to us at womensministry@wells.net. We wish you God's richest blessings as you reflect on and live out the unique callings God has given to you.